So once again, I say happy Sunday, happy new month to everyone. Say to your neighbor, even within your face mask, happy new month. God bless you. So much has happened this year, and the Lord has kept us. We're on our feet. Particularly, God has been faithful to us in Nigeria, where the mighty have fallen. God has kept us. There is a total lockdown in three nations. Total lockdown presently. Totally locked down. Nobody should go out. But yet, and they have good medical facilities. Our medical facilities are yet to be good. But yet the Lord has kept us. Many have had COVID-19. They have survived. They didn't know. They were symptomless because there is a, what I will call a Jesara of the Holy Spirit. Can you put your hands together for the Lord? God is good. And until the pandemic is over, please let us continue to take care. It will be over very soon. The east wind of God, the same way it came, will blow it away. At the other side, everyone will be alive, rejoicing and praising the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we started the year, there was hope. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Was God wrong? Did God not know that there will be COVID-19? Did COVID-19 catch God by surprise? Is God worried as we are worried? Is God confused? Does he know what to do at all? I like that song I used to sing in my family church when I was growing up. The Holy Spirit knows what he will do to make my life better. All that has happened has not caught God unawares. God is not worried or confused. He knows what to do. And he has set his hands on doing what he wants to do. It will manifest in your life. You didn't hear me. I say what God is doing will manifest in your life. You will see it and you will glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we go into God's word today. Hebrews chapter 12. Read the first two verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we'll be sharing this morning and continuing next Sunday by the grace of God on the topic looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. This passage starts by telling us that life is a race. It says, the race that was set before us. Let us run the race that is set before us. In the last line of verse 1. So my brothers and my sisters, starting point is that life is a race. What it means is that for you and for me, it has a beginning. For you and for me, it will have an end. So it's a race, it's a process. It starts from cradle to grave. As a matter of fact, it starts from when you were in the embryo until the time you answer the home call. And by the grace of God, you will live long. You didn't hear me. With long life, the Lord will satisfy you and continually show you his salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, life is a race. Two, the race is set before us. What that means is that the race had been ordained for us. We didn't set the race. The race has been set before us. In other words, we don't get to choose the race. You don't get to choose the family into which you were born. You didn't get to choose your parents. You didn't get to choose your nationality. If you are given a choice, America, Canada, Nigeria, to be born, where would you have chosen? America, Canada, or Niger Republic. One of my beloved brothers, after waiting on the Lord for many years, maybe 12 years or so, had a set of twins born 5 years ago in the U.S., and the twins are with them now in Nigeria. During the COVID, when U.S. was relocating its citizens, they wrote the parents, bring our children, we want to take them back to the U.S. We know Nigeria is not safe. You can stay in Nigeria, but please bring our children who are just 5 years old. We want to take them back. If you want to go, we will allow you to go with them. The point I'm making is that your citizenship matters. You remember what happened yesterday morning? An American missionary was kidnapped, and the United States of America sent the SEAL, the Navy SEAL, their strike force, the same force that killed Osama bin Laden. They located them in northern part of Nigeria early yesterday morning and took the man alive and well and killed 6 of the terrorists. A nation sending a whole plane and soldiers to rescue one of its citizens. Just one. And then Leah Sharibu has been there for how many years? Chibok girls have been there for how many years? You see that the country where you are born matters. May the Lord have mercy on Nigeria. The point I'm making is, life is a race. You didn't choose the race. The Bible says, the race is set before you. And so if the race is set before us, the third thing is, we've got to run the race. Life is a race. The race has been set before us. What is left for you and I is to run the race. We are not expected to stare at the track. We are not expected to chat with our co-runners. We are not expected to fold our hands and watch. We are not expected to sit down or crawl. We are expected to run the race. Don't sleep. Don't sit. Run the race. Whatever happened, COVID or no COVID, the race has to be set, has to be run. Whatever happens, end SARS or start SARS, the race has to be run. So, whatever happens, do not let us be discouraged. There's a race set before us to be run, and God who made us, who set the race before us, knew there will be end SARS, there will be COVID, there will be everything that may have challenged us. The race is set before us. You have to run the race. And in running the race, there are some hindrances described, some as weights. Weights. These are not bad. They are good, but they are unnecessary. They are things that we entangle ourselves with that are not sinful, that are not bad, but will prevent us from reaching our goals. They come in many forms. Wrong jobs. Being a misfit in the job you are doing. You can't get to your destination. It doesn't mean that what you studied in school is what you should do. Haven't you seen many lawyers doing carpentry? You have not seen doctors in the bottom. The doctor sewing clothes. The man now should be about 70 years old. Started sewing clothes maybe 25 years ago. And so, the race has been set before us. Let us avoid weights. Anything that can bog us down, tie us down. Wrong relationships.
Wrong friendships. If I don't see him, I don't sleep. Who told you? The Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? If somebody is going to Dubai and you are going to Gate and you say you want to walk together, he's my friend. If I don't see him, I can't sleep. Then he will take you to his destination. He will help you to, he will make you to run his race that is set before him, not before you. Weights include wrong priorities. I cannot but. Me, I cannot but. Who tells you I cannot but? Who tells you I cannot but? Who tells you that you cannot break tradition? You need to know the race set before you and what helps you to meet the goal. Wait. The second that can hinder us is sin. That is outright disobedience to God. God says, to do this, you do that. God says, to do this, you say, that's not convenient. Breaking the law of God not only breaks his law, it breaks his heart. And it hinders your relationship with him. I just look at my life with what God has done, with what God is doing. Who could have done it for me? You can't do it for me. You may love me. You can't do it for me. So how will I want to please you and displease he who is the only one who can help me? Sin easily besetting us, which means it has become, I would like to use this word, baraku. You are so familiar with the sins. You see, pastor, that's my own weakness. So there's nothing you can do about it. Who tells you that it's your own weakness? Nothing can be done about it. You've got to change. Otherwise, the Holy Ghost will break you. Make up your mind, Lord, I have this weakness. I have this sin that is easily besetting. Please have mercy. The starting point is to recognize you have a problem. The Bible says, he that confesses his sins shall have mercy. He that denies him will not obtain mercy. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. So don't hide your sin. Don't say it is familiar. Don't say you can't do anything about it. Acknowledge, Lord, I have a problem. Lord, it is only you who can help me. Lord, please help me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Change me. Let me be pleasing to you when you and I are alone. When nobody is watching. Lord, sanctify me in my motives, in my thoughts, in my speech, in my action. What I do when nobody is there, when my wife is not there, when my husband is not there, when my pastor is not there, let it be pleasing to you. Sins. He says, avoid weights, sins. And he said, let us run it with patience. It means one other thing that can hinder us, you and I, is impatience. Life's race is a marathon. It is not a dash. You know, when I do this, when I do this, when I do this, when I do this, and then I just get there. Many times you plan like that. It doesn't come out like that. It's a marathon. It's a long distance race. And so what matters is what you do right now must be contributing to your life. Don't just do anything. Make sure every little effort, every little investment, every little way you spend your time is contributing to your life's race. Don't waste your life. It's a marathon. Slow and steady wins the race. There's a Chinese proverb that says a journey of 1,000 years starts with one step. Take that step. It's a race. And also, the race. Are we in church this morning? We are very quiet. Are we in church? With this mask, you don't even know who is smiling. You don't know who is not smiling. Okay, smile to me even within your mask. Some teeth have been hidden for 7 months. May God allow our teeth to be seen when COVID is gone and I can see your 32 again. Yes, the race involves a pain. Let's read this main text again. Our main text. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, in his own race, faced pain. You and I should be prepared for pain sometimes. I'm not cursing you, but that is life. It is immaturity that tells you that life is a bed of roses. Okay, if you are 40 years and above, raise up, just wave to me. You are 40 years and above. Wave, wave, wave. Confidently, you are 40 years old and more. Wave your hand. Okay, put down your hands. I'm asking only those who raise up their hands. Is life a bed of roses? Prof, answer me now. Because when you are younger, come and ask me. As a student politician, we thought the life was in our hands. We could do anything. You could do anything. But as you mature, you know it doesn't happen like that. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross. So that's talking about physical pain. Sometimes life involves some physical pain to run your race and win your race. Students, you will burn the midnight candle. That's physical pain. Sometimes, in those days, we used to put our legs inside water when reading. So that you won't sleep. But that's some pain. In the course of anything good, you would have to sacrifice, you will have to give up something, you will have to suffer something physically. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross. Secondly, he despised the shame. That is emotional pain. The first is physical pain. The second is emotional pain. Jesus despising the shame. Jesus was treated like a common criminal. In fact, the Jews chose to release Barabbas, an armed robber. They preferred an armed robber to him. In other words, Jesus, you are worse than an armed robber. They spat on him. They mocked him. They stripped him naked in the open. They mocked him. They spat at him. That may not be physical pain, but that is emotional pain. Shame. In the same place, in the course of our race, some things may come that will be embarrassing. Have you ever faced embarrassment before? If you have faced embarrassment before, raise your hand. It's part of the game. Embarrassment. Something that will be shameful. But I want to assure you that the end is glorious. The Bible says in the concluding part of verse 2, after Jesus endured the cross, after he despised the shame, the Bible said, he now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, rest is sweet after labor. Victory is good after some struggle. But many people want victory, they don't want to struggle. They want to rest, they don't want to labor. Life does not come like that, it's a race. You would endure the cross. You will despise the shame, then you can sit down and do thanksgiving. Yeah. If the person singing like that tells you what she's been through, you want to do the thanksgiving, you don't want to go through what he went through. Before a testimony, usually there's a test. Before a triumph, usually there's a trial. May the Lord strengthen you. God does not want us to be lily-livered Christians. Bible says, when you faint in the days of adversity, can you complete? Your strength is small. In other words, adversity will come. It's not if, when. It will come. But it is what separates boys from men. Hello? It is what separates girls from ladies. Adversity is the milk of champion. When the Bible says strong meat comes for those who have their faith exercised to discern good from evil. Before you can choose strong meat, your faith must have been exercised over a period of time. So, buck up, my brother, my sister. It will end well. Jesus ended well. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. But at long last, the Bible said, he sat at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, if you and I are going to look unto Jesus, there are some things we need to look away from. The word looking unto Jesus, if you look at the Amplified Version says, looking away from all that would distract to Jesus. That word is not just looking unto, it is looking away from something else so that you can fix your gaze on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, they looked unto him and their faces were radiant. Is that in your Bible? So whatever happens, do not let us shift our gaze from the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So three things not to look at before we pray this morning. I will take it from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. I will read a few verses, but we'll just give a background. 1 Samuel chapter 13. First Samuel chapter 13. Please look up when you have opened it. I will just summarize. Just look up. Are we together? Are we together? Not like somebody who said we are together in 1976 February. You wouldn't know. Many people would not know that. You remember who said we are together? The person who wanted to overthrow Murid Allah Muhammad said we are together. So not in Dimka's way. Saul, the first king of Israel, had just been ordained by Samuel. And Samuel told him, go and wait for me in Gilgal. I'm coming. I will come within the next 7 days. And then, day one, day two, day three, Philistines, the arch enemy of Jews, where Goliath came from, were about to attack them. They were mounting at the city gate. They wanted to come in to attack. And so Saul made a mistake. When Samuel did not come, he appeared, he would not come. Saul went to sacrifice, a sacrifice that only priests were supposed to sacrifice. He went beyond his bounds, made a costly mistake. That was the first reason why he lost the kingship shortly after he was enthroned. But want to learn from what put pressure on him to make that grievous mistake. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore. Verse 6. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people went to hide in caves, thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. Verse 8. Then he, that is King Saul, waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. Verse 11. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash. And and God said, Samuel told him later, you have done foolishly. I want us to note what put pressure on Saul. He looked away from what Samuel promised. And if you look at verse 11, when I saw the people, can you underline the people, were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed, can you underline the days appointed, and that the Philistines, let's underline Philistines. So three things, the people, days appointed, and Philistines. Those are the three things that put pressure on him. We start from the Philistines. That represents the problem. When we are looking unto Jesus, we should not fix our gaze on the problem. Their problem was enormous. Really, it was a great problem. 30,000 soldiers, 6,000 people of additional on horses. And the Bible says foot soldiers, infantry, they were numberless. That's the enemy. So many well-armed. But the army of Israel was just 3,000 soldiers, 2,000 with Saul, 1,000 with his son, Jonathan. So when they looked at the problem, that gave them distress. So when we are looking unto Jesus, remove your gaze from the problem. You remember Peter when he was walking on water. He said, if it is you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. And he left the boat and was walking on water to go to Jesus. But the Bible says, and he saw the wind was boisterous. Was the wind just coming? The wind had been there before he left the boat. But when he shifted his gaze from the Lord Jesus, who bid him come, to look at the wind, the Bible said he started to sink. So God is asking us to look unto him as this year draws to an end. If you fix on your medical report, on your banker's report, on your examination report, that will bring distress to you. It won't help you to focus on Jesus. Tomorrow, next Sunday, by the grace of God, we'll be sharing on what to focus on in Jesus. But today, what to look away from. One, the problem. The second, in this verse 11, is the first one that you marked. The people. The people. You know, he was a king. And the Bible said the honor of a king is in his followers, isn't it? You are a leader because you have some people following you. And so the people started pressurizing. Are you going to wait and see us killed by this enemy? You better do something. We made you king, oh. You hear? We made you king. You better do something. Otherwise, we'll overthrow you. We'll impeach you. I'm talking to leaders. Is any leader worshiping with us here this morning? If you are a leader, just wave your hand. If you know you are a leader, God has called you to be a leader, wave your hand. Every mother is a leader. Every father is a leader. Every parent is a leader. Every young man who has an objective, who has a life's goal, who has a purpose, even if you are in primary school, you are a leader. Do not be carried away by people's commendation and jeering. They may commend you, they may condemn you. Yes, it was David Yonggi-cho who said the commendation should be treated like chewing gum. Are you in church this morning? You enjoy it for a while and spit it away. How many of you swallow chewing gum? So just enjoy it for a while and spit it away. And so these people, Paul was pressurized by the people saying, you must do something. You must do something. Are you here before you have run into problem because you are pressurized to do something you didn't want to do? Just wave your hand. Wave your hand. Maybe a few. As a leader, you know something is wrong. But so as to appease them. Let them happy. And then when you appease them, you run into trouble. You and everyone that is looking up to you. As a leader, as a parent, as a pastor, as an employer, as a boss at work, may the Lord help you to focus on the Lord Jesus. Number three and the final. The days appointed. That is the period. I'm saying do not focus on the problem. Do not focus on the people. Do not focus on the period. That is time that is going. The Bible said, you didn't come on the days they appointed. Let me ask you, for those who are students of the Bible, was Samuel late? Engineer Tunji Murele, was Samuel late? Because immediately he finished sacrificing on the seventh day, Samuel appeared. So he still came on the seventh day. God is never late. He makes things beautiful in his time. Hello? Hello, hello. God does not work by your time. He controls time and eternity. So let us look away from the problem.
Let us look away from the people. Let us look away from the period and focus on Him who has called us. He who loved us, that He gave His heart to us. He gave His life for us. What else will He not be able to give to us? So as the year draws to an end, we have less than 2 months to go. 2 months is too short for God to do something miraculous in your life. 60 days are too many. In 6 hours, it can change the trajectory of your life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's stand up.